Hi there, and welcome back to another episode of Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley. I am your habit change agent. I am here to support you in creating changes in those sabotaging habits that are getting in the way in your life. We are all about habit change from the inside out here at Habits into Health. So if you're feeling stuck, worried, trapped, exasperated, or even angry about a pattern that isn't serving you, or if you care about someone else who's in that situation, then this show is for you. So here's our topic for today. What do you do if you're a friend of a negative talker and you have reached your limit? We'll review some ways that you can manage this situation that I hope will be helpful. But first, let's start with our Habits into Health practice. This is something we do every episode to just introduce you to a small taste of self-exploration. We learn by what we do, so you get to teach yourself through your own experience in this program. And as I like to say, in Habits into Health, the focus is on letting your body take the lead so that your mind doesn't have to. Your mind can be a partner instead of being the dictator trying to run the show. And this is a practice, because we are socialized in this world to forget that our whole being is a resonating force that creates what we call thinking. And when you become attentive to your body's signals, it turns out that you'll actually listen and learn from your experience more effectively. And that's one of the reasons why we have an experiential practice in every episode of Habits into Health. So let's begin. For today, and initially without changing anything, let your attention go to your eyes. This is not about sight, but about self-use. So you can do this exercise whether or not you have the physical capacity to see. And you can also have your eyes open or closed. So next, just compress the muscles around your eyes so that your eyes become squeezed, and notice the effect that this has on your face. Do you experience this compression around your eyes, for instance, or behind your eyes? Do you feel sensation in your forehead, or in your cheeks, or your temples, or perhaps even down into your mouth? Now undo that compression around your eyes, just like you're walking slowly down a set of steps, one step at a time. And notice what you experience as you do this. When you get to the bottom of these steps, you have brought down the compression around your eyes, and then just notice where your attention goes. As best as you can, stay with your physical experience. And it might go with just noticing how you feel in your face, from your forehead, around your eyes, nose, and cheeks. Or you may also experience, as you do this, something resonating in other parts of you, in your chest, your arms, your hands, even down into your legs and your feet. And if you haven't tried practices like this, your attention might go elsewhere. We are highly trained to think that attention means we put thinking up front. And if that happens, then notice whether you go into wondering or curiosity or distraction or to something happening around you. You might even find yourself feeling confused or self-judgment on the one hand, or irritated and disdainful on the other. Those are just examples. But if you are like other people who feel confused, you might just notice whether that includes questioning whether you're doing something wrong or hearing the guidance incorrectly. If you feel irritated, you might have something in common with others who judge in the other direction. This is a stupid exercise. Why does this matter? Those kinds of thoughts. In any of these cases, do the best that you can to not chase the thoughts, because the main thing is that even when you think that you're only thinking, there is physical activity going on. So this practice is to bring attention to what is happening physically. So just notice what's happening in your eyes. And then compress around your eyes and notice what happens there. So just notice around your eyes. Squeeze and compress just a little bit. And notice what happens in the rest of your face. Notice what happens down into your mouth or even your throat. And then just gently undo that and discover what you experience here. When you let yourself stay with this, you're practicing something very important that is not often cultivated in our wired world, and that is being with yourself. So I invite you to continue to be attentive as we make a transition away from the exercise and into our topic. First, a little station ID. You are listening to Habits into Health, and my name is Michael Ann Conley. I'm a holistic therapist, and I host this podcast show. And I invite you to come to habitsintohealth.com and click on the link for a survey that I have there to give me some feedback about what's most important to you, because I am directing this podcast toward those topics that you bring up. And when you visit, you can check out my ebook. It's called Do You Have a Habit or Does Your Habit Have You? If you are feeling dragged down by a habit, or if you know that you're sabotaging yourself in one way and somehow there's this grip that just won't let you go, then I've developed a way that can put you back in charge. And when you give me your name and email address, I'll send you the link for the ebook, and it clarifies 5 top warning signs that may apply to you and some things you can do to get unstuck. And then I'll also keep in touch with other tips and support in my newsletter. By the way, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Just search for Habits into Health at the iTunes store. And you can follow us on Facebook as well. Look for habits.into.health. Now let's discuss our topic. This is part 3 in a small series about dealing with someone who can't say anything nice about anything or anyone. And it came up because a bank teller asked me, "What do you think is the most common habit?" And the answer that came to me was negative self-talk, probably because I had just gotten a comment from a reader of an article I'd written, and the reader said, "What can I do with someone who is always a Debbie Downer? I have to interact with this person who walks around with a cloud over her head on a daily basis." And you probably can relate to what this person is saying. You might even be able to relate to being Debbie Downer yourself, at least at times, but maybe even as a pattern of being. And not to leave the guys out, this could be Sad Sam as well. And the truth is, it's a drag on both sides of this equation. In the last 2 episodes, we took a look at how a common response to Debbie's down and Sam's sad backfires. And that's when you try to perk them up or suggest that they perk themselves up. Research shows that attempting to cheer up somebody who is down is more likely to increase their sense of the gap between where they are and where they want to be. And this actually ends up with the person feeling worse, not better. Last episode, we also looked at responding from a place of resourceful compassion, which can be hard because it can get really old being around a negative person, right? So you can end up feeling resentful and then guilty because you're resentful, because after all, they're having a bad day, a bad week. Oh, it might be a bad month, a bad year, or a bad life. And if you yourself feel trapped in a depressed and negative place, well, I'm just going to bet you get tired of hearing yourself too. And it's likely that in addition to feeling powerless over your mood, you don't want to burden your friends and family about it. And that leads to isolating yourself, which only deepens your sense of despair. It becomes a vicious cycle. So have you ever been here or known someone who has been here? I'll just bet you do. Resourceful compassion is just a neutral stance of asking what they want and offering support, particularly offering resources from an understanding that there are healthcare options for dealing with it. This mood state is a symptom of something going on, and much of the time trying to treat it as strictly a mental condition doesn't help, except maybe in the short term or in cases of very high emergency. resourceful compassion for yourself even as you feel powerless to stop your state, knowing that your feeling state is quite probably related to something physical. Could be really helpful. And by physical, I mean nutritional, hormonal, biochemical, metabolic. And that means being kind to yourself and not blaming yourself. If you want to know more about the help that's possible from the kinds of new health care that can support you in this way, you can check out Functional Medicine. And come on over to habitsintohealth.com and search for the phrase resourceful compassion. And you will see some resources that I posted there. When all is said and done, though, after you've tried perking a person who's down to try to pick them up, or perking yourself up with useless affirmations, which is often the case, and then after you've offered resources or been open to receiving them, there is a third important thing to consider doing in this situation. Make boundaries to take care of yourself. If you've reached your limit, that's okay. When all else fails, you can support Debbie Downer and Sad Sam and yourself by making boundaries, even if you can't physically make yourself scarce. This can often happen if it's a family member, someone you live with, or a coworker at a job that you can't leave, at least not yet, someone who's in your life, and it's not easy or possible to make distance. The hard part about boundaries is often knowing that you have the right to make them. That resentment guilt thing. If you take care of yourself, you must be a heartless person, right? Wrong. It is okay to let Debbie and Sam know, I don't want to hear this anymore. I'm stepping away. I'm happy to talk with you when you're ready to talk in a different way about this. And if you can't get away physically, it's okay to separate yourself with a headset if necessary, or non-intrusive, soothing background music if your work or home environment allows for it. It's okay. And it's definitely okay, and very often a really good idea, to get support for yourself, because you may be making the situation worse without intending to. A professional counselor can help you get perspective about your situation and guide you in developing your options for how to deal with the situation. And guess what? If you're the person who's stuck in negative self-talk, it may be hard to hear these boundaries from people who care about you. But it is also a good reality check that you are actually not as powerless as you're feeling. Look at the power your words and energy can have with other people. While you're not responsible for what other people feel or how they handle their feelings about this, their response to you is good information about the impact that you're having in your life. And also, it's okay to pick your spots, to choose more wisely how much you share and who you share with. Don't keep telling Aunt Susie about how rough your day has been if she always tries to perk you up. That gets old too, right? It's okay to make changes in your circle of friends. And sometimes that's necessary because some of your friends may not be able to handle your moods because of who they are. And if you're repeatedly experiencing others removing themselves from you, it's more than okay to seek professional counseling because you're too close to your own mess and you probably could use some help to determine how much is your stuff and how much may just be it's time to reevaluate your friends. And it's also okay to make other kinds of boundaries with yourself by recognizing the impact your attitude is having on you. And that can include recognizing what the bodily feeling is when you're in this state and doing the exercise. Just like we did today with the eyes. If you notice that your chest is tightening, tighten your chest a little more and then undo it. Tighten it a little bit and then undo it. If you notice that your jaw is tense, it may seem counterintuitive, but tighten it a little bit, maybe a little more, and then soften it a little bit. When you start focusing your attention on where you're physically feeling the state, and you start working with that, you will be amazed at how quickly your mind changes. It's time to sign off for now. Next time, we're going to visit a terrific way to handle those negative and down moods, because it involves not just your mind, but doing something. So I'd love to hear your feedback about what I've been saying and about what most keeps you stuck in old patterns or what helps to free you for your next steps. Come on over to habitsintohealth.com and let me know by clicking on the survey link. And if you have a habit that's creating problems for you, or if someone you know has a problem habit, then come to habitsintohealth.com to request my free ebook. It can really help you clarify the issues that you're dealing with. I always like to say, remember to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You have been listening to Habits Into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I am here to help you stop feeling out of control over unhealthy habits, wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, and to start creating a life where you're in charge of them instead of the other way around. Thanks so much for joining me.